And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. As the announcer said, the program that aims to have you get the knowledge you need so you can take control of your genes and live younger and more vibrantly. And that's why in the second hour, our guest in the second hour is going to talk about this periodic, if you will, modified fast that gets you to have more stem cells, changes the entire dynamics if the animal models work and the human models seem to be paralleling that. But this hour we have another great guest. This is a repeat. So you asked for him back. He's outstanding. Russell Friedman. Russell Friedman is co-author of the best-selling Grief Recovery Handbook. He's also sold and written another bestseller, When Children Grieve and Moving On. And they're also the creators with his co-author of the Grief Recovery Method. In fact, that's where you can get the website of John W. James and Russell Friedman. It is griefrecoverymethod.com. Is that correct, Dr. Friedman?
Absolutely, Dr. Michael. And I'm not a doctor, although I have been accused of that before.
Okay, well, you had so much knowledge, I wanted to give you
made
an honorary doctorate, if you will. You've also written
and if my mother were alive, she would be so proud.
You also were on before for talking about loss of a pet. And again, a just sensational set of interviews you did. This is an updated book, the Grief Recovery Handbook, and it's got a lot of stuff in it. And when I was talking to you just before we came on the air, I wanted to get to loss of career and financial issues. That is, what happens if you lose a career, and how do you grieve over that? But you said even more, and I want to get to that, was people were talking about loss of faith. And
right.
I wanted one. I was fascinated by the topic on loss of health, because I think if I lose health, as a physician who's been espousing it all these years, I would have a great loss. But let's go ahead and talk about why do you think loss of faith is getting to be such a big thing?
Yeah, it's a great question. Actually, in this 20th anniversary expanded edition of the Grief Recovery Handbook, which is the one we're talking about, the original subtitle was The Action Program for Moving Beyond Death, Divorce, and Other Losses. And when we added this whole new book with new chapters, it says including loss of health, career, and faith. Those three got brought in. Health is, and I will sneak up on faith and just touch on the others for a second. As you've alluded to, for you, and the truth is for anybody, loss of health is probably one of the biggest single losses in our life. The sense of independence, the ability to take care of ourselves, our sense of well-being, our sense of having a future at all, because if you have a really serious health issue, your life could be compromised. And the key to all this is that in a crisis, we go back to old behavior or old beliefs. So grief is a crisis. Loss of health, therefore, is a grief-related crisis. And in a crisis, we'll put old ideas on what we think we do. Our attitude and information about dealing with loss, Dr. Michael, is the key to how effectively we deal with it. We're all going to have, as a doctor, you know, we're all going to have diminishments at some level of our health. Our skin gets less flexible as we get older. Our muscles do not hold their strength. And I'm 72, so I'm experiencing the losses of some of the physical capacities I used to have. But fortunately for me, my attitude about loss is excellent, and I don't mean to be unhumble, but grief recovery has prepared me to have a better attitude about physical health loss so that as things diminish, I can deal with it with a greater degree of equanimity and not lose more energy in feeling bad about it or hurting myself worse. I'm sure you've seen patients who would do better if they had a better attitude. Well, grief recovery allows the maximum attitude. And let me add a little something that will relate to all three of these topics we're going to talk about here at first. Unresolved grief drains energy and robs choice. And I'm not talking about energy in some woo-woo sense, just in a straightforward sense. How much energy do I have available to me? If my inside, my subconscious, and parts of me are sucking off energy, trying to talk to things inside that I can't fix, I can't make my skin be that of a 20-year-old because I'm 72. So I must go through and accept what I have and make the most of the life I have. And I'm sure that attitude, when you've had clients or patients who can adopt that attitude, your ability to help them goes up. It gets better for you. Now, career issues. And we, starting back in about 2008, when the financial collapse happened, people in my age bracket and even younger had their worlds turned upside down. Their 401ks became somewhat valueless. Some of their other retirement plans, a lot of people had to go back to work or not quit working at a normal retirement age. And all of that put them back in this grief crisis mode. If my wife and I had plans to retire and travel and all of a sudden we can't afford to do that, then I have a grief issue. And like most people don't have skills for dealing with grief. So big health and career issues can really put a roadblock in front of our emotional capacity to live life to the fullest, even in the face of obstacles. It's not the obstacle, it's our attitude about the obstacle, or as I might say, is it the rain or is it my attitude about the rain that ruins the picnic? And mostly it's my attitude. And so if I can have better information, develop a better attitude, then I can have better health even in a crisis. I can have better career decisions even when having to do things I don't want to do. And when it comes to loss of faith, which has become bigger and bigger and bigger, I'm finding more and more people are focused on faith issues. And while often it appears to be, Dr. Michael, a loss of faith in God, quite often as we show people how to do work in that arena, it isn't necessarily God that is the problem. It's sometimes God's local representative, and that's kind of a joke on, you know, calling the clergy the God's local representative. And also the politics in church. One of my observations after 28 years doing grief recovery and having had to help many major religious denominations who have split in half over arguments that are, it's like seeing the red-blue war in politics, the people's attitudes and ladder climbing in the religious community, which always makes you go, how can this be religious or spiritual? These people are as greedy and ladder climbing as anybody you've ever seen. I mean, it really gives pause to how we see that. But when people's faith has been damaged, by a grief event. Example, you have a little baby girl and she gets run over by a drunk driver. No matter how spiritual and religious you are, that's liable to create either a temporary or long-term breach of faith in the God of your understanding. Now, many people try to get those people to pray their way back to God. But if you're angry at God, how are you going to pray to a God that you're mad at? So we help people going on the right pathway, we believe. We help them get emotionally complete with their child who died or whoever died. And then for most people, God comes back into their hearts. If not, there's a whole chapter in this book, the Grief Recovery Handbook, that will help them get emotionally complete with God, And most of them get back to God. If not, they don't have to go back to God, but they can't carry anger and bitterness around and resentment. So it teaches them how to complete the resentment. As you know, it's not very fun to be in a conversation with someone about a resentment they're holding. You can't really kind of interact with them. Anyhow, I've kind of prattled on like making a speech. I apologize for that, but I hope it's been helpful information.
Yes, what I want to get back to when we come back, since it is something I've wondered, with these recent shootings in Charleston, etc., how are the people able to say, I forgive so easily? We'll come back about that, and is that part of grief recovery? We're talking with Russell Friedman, griefrecoverymethod.com, sensational set of books. The Grief Recovery Handbook is the basis. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Stay well.
How would you like to turn back the clock to a more youthful you without surgery or painful injections in the comfort of your own home? A weekly Purigenix collagen mask and daily serum application will make your face look smoother, lift sagging and loose skin, and restore the promise of youth to skin weakened by aging, sun damage, and acne scarring. This amazing product has been sold only to plastic surgeons and skincare professionals, but Purigenix is offering it to the listeners of Dr. Suzanne Wellness for Life Radio for $300 below the retail price with free overnight shipping. Simply go to drsuzanne.com/collagen to receive this special offer and turn back time to a sexy, younger you. Again, that's drsuzanne.com/collagen.
Each year, millions of people fall for dangerous fad diets and bogus weight loss products. Here's how to separate facts from fad. This is registered dietitian Melissa Joy Dobbins for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics with your Eating Right Minute. Fad diets give lots of promises and few results. Some are even dangerous. Remember these warning signs. A guarantee of rapid weight loss is a red flag. For long-term success, aim to lose about 1 pound per week. Never follow a diet that bans an entire food group or one that allows you to only eat from one group. Finally, there is no proof that eating specific foods at certain times of the day will help with weight loss. To create an eating plan just for you, see a registered dietitian and visit www.eatright.org. Encouraging you to eat right, I'm registered dietitian Melissa Joy Dobbins with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Michael Roizen, MD.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, a show that helps you take control of your genes so you can be the youngest ever. One of the things we know with loss is that when you lose something that you really value, it's a major stressful event. And it ages you. How much? One event, about 8 years older. Three events in 1 year, about 32 years older, if you don't manage them. But managing them decreases that 32 years to just a 2 year real age older. And that's really what Russell Friedman, Friedman, author of the book, The Grief Recovery Handbook. This is the revised, updated edition. Talks about moving beyond death, divorce, and other losses. We're talking about some specific losses. So I was talking about loss of faith with him just beforehand. But let's move, if you will. So in these mass murders that occurred in Charleston, I was really impressed, Russell, that these people said, "I forgive." And it seemed to me it was almost too easy for them to say that. Can it be that easy?
Well, you know, it's a fascinating topic. And I was listening on live radio, as I think many people were, hearing the church community people talk and forgive so quickly. And a lot of people say, is it too soon? The fact is, it's never too soon to forgive, ever, although it can seem that way. And even the question, is it a genuine forgiveness, which is a false question because it's none of anyone else's business whether it's true. Here's what it can do. If I keep holding someone else responsible for how I feel, then what I do is I stay on the murderer and never get back to the primary issue is not how my husband or wife or child or daughter died. It is on my relationship with the person who died. If I get stuck on my relationship with the perpetrator, I am not dealing with my relationship with my person. And forgiveness is the only way I can get back to my heart as it relates to my person who died. Otherwise, I'm giving all my emotional energy to the murderer. So what those people did, whether they knew it or not, I don't know if they could have said what I just said, but what they did freed them to do their grief recovery work on their person who died. In other words, I'm not going to give you any more power. You just stole my person from me. You killed my husband, my wife, my daughter. I'm not going to give you anything more. I forgive you. Now watch this line. I forgive you so I can be free to do what I need to do to recover from my broken heart. You broke it, but I have to recover it. Nobody, even the murderer, if the murderer apologizes, doesn't fix your heart. It may fix theirs, but it doesn't fix yours. So forgiveness is an essential key to grief recovery. There's no recovery possible without forgiveness. And in this kind of situation, it's the only way to get back whatever power you have over your own emotions without spending the rest of your life holding someone else responsible for how you feel now. Now, indeed, they did cause you to feel... Yeah, go ahead.
Now, Russell, we've got a question on the email line. You can always ask us a question. Email udocs@gmail.com. This one's from Gerald, and Gerald asks, is forgiveness always the first step in recovery, or can there be other first steps than just saying and feeling that I forgive someone?
Well, it doesn't have to be the first step, but it's an essential one. And let me tell Gerald and everyone else listening, I don't think you ever feel like forgiving. No matter what we say, you have to forgive. But what you'll feel like do is hurting the person who hurt you. Forgiveness is not something you want to do. It's something you have to do so you can be free. It is part of a package of things you have to do. You have to address all elements, not just forgiveness. In our relationships with important people, we have to apologize for things we did or didn't do that might have hurt them. We have to forgive them for things they did or didn't do that hurt us. We have to make significant emotional statements. For the perpetrator, we have no apologies to make, but we need to forgive them and to make a statement of how much they hurt us by stealing something that was ours.
Now, how much, and this is a question that Irving asks, he said, how much is the time of a loss an important phenomenon? In other words, if he loses a mother or a spouse in a short period of time, didn't expect it, and it was a sudden loss, is that much harder to recover from than one that is, say, the person develops a end-stage disease and it takes 6 months and hospice care for them to pass on?
Now, yeah, great question. And the answer is, they're obvious that a sudden death, and I had this, my mother died suddenly the day before Thanksgiving in 1993. No warning, no, nothing lead up to it. And it was devastating for me. When my dad died 6 or 8 years ago, it was after he was 93 and a long-term illness. I was devastated by both, but impacted in a different way by the sudden death. There were certain things left unfinished because there were plans and hopes and dreams of things to do, trips to make, and, you know, conversations to have. The sudden death will leave us with some extra unfinished business, but all loss leaves us with things we wish that had happened differently, better, or more, and unrealized hopes, dreams, and expectations about the future. The real key isn't the difference between those things, is if you have the tools and knowledge of what to do with it. And that's what the Grief Recovery Handbook is for. It's really a manual to say, okay, this is what's happened. What do you need to do to discover and complete what's unfinished for you? And here's how to do it. Rather than just say, hey, let go and move on. It's what do you do to get complete with what's unfinished?
So one of the things you talk about doing is doing that apology or doing the emotional statements you make.
Statements, yeah.
So how do you do that? In other words, if you say one of the things, obviously, with people, it's reasonable, but what do you do when you lose a career or a job? So, for example, if you will, Barclays Bank, and this is written by a Kelly, has said they're going to let 6,500 people go. I will be one of those they let go. And so in 30 seconds, can you say, how do I get over this? Who do I apologize to?
Great question. All recovery or completion of unfinished business is indirect. Obviously, if the person has died, it has to be indirect. If they're living, you can't forgive them for their face. That's an attack. In those kind of intangible things like career and health, those are actually made up of many, many small relationships with people who affected you or not. And it's really like a tree with branches. So it's done indirectly, but with individuals who affected you.
We're talking with Russell Friedman, the Grief Recovery Handbook. As you can tell, it's full of wonderful information for all of us. We all lose things. We don't always lose someone. We can lose a job. We can lose status, a whole bunch of things. The Grief Recovery Handbook method.com. Absolute sensational. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual.
Enhanced water as active as you are. Refresh and recharge with Lily of the Desert's Aloe H2O. Each crisp, cool bottle contains over 200 active, health-boosting nutrients from organically grown aloe vera. Aloe H2O is the perfect enhanced water for when you're running on the treadmill, walking the trails, cruising with the top down, or even sitting on your front porch. With only 30 calories and 6 grams of sugar per bottle, you can feel good about staying on track with your health goals. Learn more about Aloe H2O at lilyofthedesert.com.
Can you tell if the surfaces in this kitchen are crawling with bacteria that could cause chronic arthritis? Listen. Can't, can you? You can't see it either. Wash surfaces, utensils, and hands frequently with soapy water while preparing food, especially when handling raw meats or eggs. Raw food may contain bacteria that can make you very sick or worse. 1 in 6 Americans will get sick from food poisoning this year, and roughly 3,000 will die. But you can keep your family safer by cleaning with soap and water as you go. Learn more about this and other important information. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. That's foodsafety.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.